KDXU News Time, it's 8:35. Good morning to you. We have a brand new Focus on Business group in here. Richard and Kaylee are in the house, and we're going to talk about Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care. Guys, take it away.
We're excited to be here. Welcome to all of you in Radioland, to Southern Utah's first and only elder care radio program, brought to you by Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care. My name is Richard.
And I'm Kaylee.
This week, we're going to start with, what is hospice and what is palliative care? Emphasis on palliative care, because that's really why we're here.
Yes, bringing an understanding of what palliative care could be and explaining to the St. George community why Pathway Hospice and palliative care is different.
Let me start by saying hospice should not be such a scary word. It seems to have a stigma attached that if your doctor says hospice, it means you are dying right now, super fast. Hopefully, we can take the sting out of that word and show you how it was intended to be.
Hospice is not giving up.
No, it's actually being able to do more. So let's talk about facts, fiction, myth, legend, and dispel the misinformation that's out there.
Ooh, this is so important because each one of us will have at least one hospice experience in our life.
Some of us sooner than others.
You.
So what is hospice? Well, hospice is not a place. Those who choose hospice services near the end of life do not go into hospice, but receive services where they live. This could be a private residence, assisted living facility, community center, nursing home. Some hospitals have a hospice bed. However, the intent of hospice is to deliver a large quality of services to the patient wherever he or she calls home.
Hospice care is a special kind of care. It's focusing on the quality of life for those who have life-limiting illnesses. Hospice care provides compassionate care for people in the last phases of their incurable disease so that they may live fully and more comfortable lives.
So it's increasing quality of life, not necessarily increasing quantity.
Right. I want to give a shout out to all those nurses in Southern Utah, the hospice nurses specifically. If you've already had a hospice experience, you likely believe that your hospice nurse is the best one and only one for you and your family. I love that. This is a special, tender time in people's lives, and you will depend so much on your nurses that you will have deep, trusting relationships formed. Let me explain that hospice nurses are special. They wouldn't choose this specialty if they weren't truly compassionate people. So woot woot to all those nurses out there.
So no doubt all of the clinical staff that work in this industry are committed to providing a fine level of clinical care. We at Pathway Hospice are always learning and improving our services. And it's most important for us to know things that matter to our patients and our families. So what we'd like, if you've had a hospice experience, we want to hear from you. Tell us what your hospice experience was, good or bad. Call us at 435-477-6999.
We really are interested. My parents have lived here, or did live here, for a very long time, but we're new here. So we're looking forward to meeting the community and to hearing from you. 435-477-6999.
So we started Pathway because of our own hospice experiences. Some were good and others weren't so good. And we want to better that experience for everyone in Southern Utah. As we've been meeting with people in the community, doctors, medical staff, and residents, we've discovered that palliative care has a different meaning to everyone, and that's true for us too. Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care has a belief that palliative care can be much more extensive than what some people might believe.
While palliative care... Had a hard time getting that word out. While palliative care is not curative care, there is scientific evidence that shows that palliative care can greatly improve and sometimes even extend one's quality of life.
Because as we are trying to heal or recover from problems, the major factors that can impede that are stress, anxiety, and pain. So if we can introduce palliative care along with other medical care, the outcome's going to be much better in every case.
Years ago, when babies were born that needed to spend time in the NICU, doctors used to restrict parents from touching them and holding them because they were afraid of the germs that might be passed on to the babies. They used to make you reach through in gloves in the glass, through the glass. However, they've discovered that there's scientific evidence to prove that cuddling and snuggling the babies actually helps improve their life. It reduces their stay in the hospital. It reduces the amount of medications and procedures that they have. They're able to recover quickly, sometimes overcome what might have other been dire circumstances. There's actually a cuddling program here, well, everywhere now, that they allow volunteers to come in and hold your babies when parents aren't there. They have proven that this is a most important things for the infants, and their recovery is so much better. Now, how do we translate that into elderly care? While we'd like to snuggle all of them, elderly care, we actually have a team that spends extra time with our patients, finding out what's important to them, what their goals are, what causes their anxieties, what would help them through this difficult time in their life. We help them discover what will improve their quality of life as they go through this transitionary state.
Because it's important to understand that palliative care, in order for it to be effective, has to specifically address the concerns and problems that the patient has. There's a lot of different things that can be determined to be palliative. What we want to do is make sure that what we are trying to bring to the patient, the family, the caregiver, are those things that will be most effective to solve their problem. So palliative care is dynamic, and it's different for everybody. So we want to take all of the ideas that we have. We want to get the information from the patient and the family as to where their concerns are so that we can put together an entire program.
And people should understand that palliative care and hospice care is not only for the patient but also for the caregivers, because they're going through difficult times as well. It's not, well, it can be anything. There are any kind of therapies. It can be massage therapy, but not just a regular scheduled typical massage, but a massage by a massage therapist that comes specifically for you. They get to know you, what makes you feel good. Their whole purpose is to find your likes and dislikes, where you hurt, if you like deep tissue massages or gentle touches, and they adapt as your circumstances are adapting. We have found that the caregivers look forward to this often more than the patients.
No question. And again, to reiterate, that the idea that doing the same thing for everybody is going to be effective just isn't. So we know that hospice and this time in palliative care is a time of transition, and that things are going to change, and we need to be able to adapt to that. So having somebody who has real experience at every level to understand the changes are going to happen and to be able to modify what goes on is going to be incredibly important to make it useful.
And there are a multitude of therapies. It could be pet therapy. It could be music therapy. But the difference between just throwing a therapy out there and making one that is dynamic and specific to an individual's needs is that it's relative to an individual and very dynamic, always changing. So if it's music therapy, it's not just having music over the air. It's not having a guitarist come in and play their music and what they want to play for you, but it's actually discovering what the patient and the family needs. What kind of music is going to take their stresses away? What is it? What songs do I sing that help you to leave the world behind you and not to stress so much on the changes and the hard changes that are happening in your life?
We've had one person that when we talked to them about it, they were quite clear that the only type of music that they've really enjoyed in their life is opera. And so having somebody come in and play acoustical guitar might be nice, but it's not necessarily going to bring them a real palliative success just because we've introduced music. And certainly not everybody is affected by music the same way. me, I don't know that music therapy would be a great solution to reduce my stress or anxiety. But I do know that for many people it is, and it's been proven that music is very effective to help us change our mood, to help us redirect our focus, or to eliminate the concerns that we have. And those are the things that are most important about palliative care. It's not just a protocol or a performance as much as it is integrating that into a way that people can really appreciate and understand it and use it.
We have a patient right now that was told when he was leaving the hospital that physical therapy would no longer do him any good, but he really wanted physical therapy. He still wanted to continue trying. Not that he expected physical therapy to cure his illness, but he did think that it would help him remain strong and keep a better quality of life. So even though doctors had said it wasn't going to do him any good, we sent physical therapists out to him. And after a few weeks, the physical therapist came back and said, you know what, it really isn't helping him. In fact, it's taking so much out of him, he's exhausted afterwards. But in speaking with the patient, he still wanted to try. He didn't want to give up. So what did we do? We kept sending the therapist. The physical therapist now has kind of changed how he does physical therapy. He actually does more of the work than the patient does, bending his legs, moving his arms, and it's more of a massage therapy done by a physical therapist, but that's important to him. And if it's important to him, it's important to us.
Right, because what we want out of that is that the patient has successes for himself, that he feels that it's effective. Not that we've provided a service and get to check it off of our list. Our goal, again, is to really adapt everything that we do to what is most important for our patients. So let's go a little broader on this idea of palliative care and get an understanding of what it can be. Let's talk about the definitions that are out there. And palliative care is a pretty big word. There are a lot of definitions that people have about it. At the minimum end, at one end of the spectrum, the idea of having music in the background is palliative. Well, that doesn't necessarily provide an incredibly effective solution, but it can be palliative. At the other end, we look at the entire system of the body, not just the physical systems, but we look at the mental, the emotional, the psychosocial. We integrate services that help them deal at all of those levels. So that's where we hope the palliative care can go. Now, if we're looking at the clinical part of this discussion, we just talk about, you know, where your doctor would fit into your care, and most of that's clinical. We can divide the types of care that he provides into two classes. We can talk about curative, and those are all of the things your doctor does that go directly to solving the underlying disease. And then the other part of it, everything else that's not curative, would be considered palliative. Doing those things that help us deal with the symptoms. So if you had a cold, let's start with that. There are no cures for the common cold. So all we can do are palliative things, but those palliative things can be very effective. If we take antihistamines to reduce the itchiness that we have, or cough medicine to eliminate coughs, those don't cure the cold, but they do effectively help us. But what we want, and this is, I hope, is the example that we can work with, we want this community in southern Utah to understand all of the other things that can be palliative. Because if we look back on when we had a cold or the flu, what were the things that were probably most effective for us?
Your mom putting a blanket around you and snuggling you?
Oh, absolutely. How about
chicken soup.
Chicken soup. Perfect. So all of those things are palliative. And if we can add that layer of services on top of a robust and complete clinical service, we provide a much more broad and effective service for our patients.
Now, we've tried to, obviously, we sound really scripted because this is our first time in Radio Land. Please forgive us, but we think it's really, really an important message to understand that while you deal with such a difficult circumstance as a life-limiting illness, that you should put people around you, gather people around you who sincerely have your best interest in mind for the end. We want to help you check things off your bucket list. And that is different for everybody. Everybody's bucket list is very dynamic. It might be Grandpa really wants to go to his kid's grandson or his grandson's baseball game, but it's so much work on Grandma just to get him out of bed that there's no way he can take him to a baseball game. Well, we're there to come help Grandpa achieve that goal. Let's take him to the baseball game. We'll help it get him into the car, get him out of the car, take him back, and make a good experience. Maybe the family was thinking that they're not going to be able to go to the family reunion, and right now in COVID, there's no family reunions. But if we were going to attend a family reunion, we could help him go when he would otherwise think that he wasn't going to be able to attend.
Hospice care is much more broad than most other areas of care. I mean, you've got home care, home health, hospice, and there's a lot of blurred lines that people have created in there. But what we hope that we can get across is that hospice is so encompassing of all the different factors. Not only are we dealing with the clinical, but as Kaylee pointed out, we want to help with family events and making those good memories. We want to provide a level of care that makes this the best possible time that people have. We understand that that time may be limited, and we want to make sure that it is the absolute best.
Well, and saying time is limited, that's really important. So hospice, according to Medicare, is greatly underused. And we usually try, when I say we, in the community, doctors and otherwise, because hospice and has such a stigma attached to it, they really try to gauge the closely how soon you're going to pass away. And they try and put you on hospice right at the very end. But that really doesn't allow you the time to accomplish all the things that you want to accomplish. When my mom passed away, I was so grateful that we had several months to invite family. People actually came from England to spend time with my mom and to let her know that they loved her and you know, to visit it at such a difficult time was helpful and hopeful to her. It was helpful to our family. If we would have gauged it to the last, 4 days, if doctors would have been correct, we would have missed those opportunities.
Yeah, because my wife's mother was originally from England, and her family actually had the opportunity because we realized that hospice was an option for us early enough. Her family was able to travel to come see her and accomplish, that time to spend together, to talk, to reminisce, to feel like they've had some opportunity, not be blindsided by the idea that she's passed and just getting a notice, an email or a phone call.
That brings up an important point. So when should you start considering hospice care? Since we underuse it and since it's a really difficult topic for doctors to bring up, if you hear that your illness is no longer curative, that a lot of the procedures that they are offering are not likely to cure your illness anymore, that's up to you to start asking the doctors, what about hospice care? Because that is a really difficult thing for a doctor to broach. Richard, you always say that doctors are about cures.
Yeah, so for a doctor, he gets into the business of helping people. And it seems that almost every time that somebody comes to them with a problem, they're able to say, well, yes, it's a problem and I've analyzed it completely, but we have a plan to fix it. For instance, if you break your arm and you go to the doctor, he says, oh, yeah, it's terrible. We took x-rays and you've got a broken arm, but with a cast and some time, you'll be able to recover and life will go on and it won't affect you at all. In fact, my own daughter, when she was, six, she broke her arm, spiral break in the forearm, and the doctors gave us a lot of information at that time. They said, well, because she's so young, this is going to heal up, and of course, where it broke is going to be stronger. But the truth is that her entire bone's going to grow, and that bone's going to be perfect in the future. So this is not a big deal. But as we've aged, obviously, broken bones become more of an issue. Those of us who have cared for parents, who are those parents that are being cared for, realize that any broken bone is a terrible situation in trying to recover. So what we want to do is we want to be able to adjust that. So going back to the doctor, if they have a problem, they, you know, and can't offer a solution, it is an uncomfortable conversation for them to say, we've done all that we can, and I don't have anything more for you. So have some sympathy for your doctors and know that that's a hard conversation to have, and it might be easier for you to be able to bring it up, for you to be able to say, while it's not an issue now, I was hoping that I could talk to you about when you and I might have that conversation in the future so that we have a common understanding. Because if he understands that you already know that hospice is an option, it'll be easier for him to discuss it with you.
Okay, we're almost at the end of our show. Andy, did you have
3 minutes left, yeah.
How much?
3 minutes.
Perfect.
3 minutes.
Did you have any questions for us?
Well, I do. You know, this is a fascinating topic, and I'm not going to lie. When I first, when Ike first told me about the Pathway Hospice, I thought, oh, so they're going to talk about how people die. And that's a very common myth, I think. If you guys maybe could address that a little bit, and you hear the word hospice, you automatically think, well, game over, right?
Right. That is the first thought that we have, and that's the scary part of the word. Let's, instead of saying hospice, let's talk about palliative care, because palliative care is the snuggling that we talked about, the loving and caring things that will make your end of life a better end of life, creating lasting memories for those who are left behind.
So that actually brings up an interesting point when we're talking about talking to your doctor. At this point, palliative care has become a popular term for the doctors to say that let's refer you to palliative care so that they don't have to talk about hospice. So if your doctor talks about palliative care, then it's
that
a good time.
That might be a key word for to look at hospice.
It's a time to look at hospice, because while there are some palliative cares available at the Medicare level, if we just operate under the palliative care side, that has a very limited list of services that are available. Whereas hospice opens up a broad range of services that are available. And one last point that I want to make here is hospice is always about choice. If you consider going on hospice and you choose to do that, you are not committed to it. You aren't required to go on hospice.
You can transfer companies. You can pull off at any time. It's all about choice. It's probably the one thing that Medicare tried to get really right. Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care is family-owned and operated. We're the only one with a truly robust and expansive palliative care program. But you won't know that unless you call Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care at 435-477-6999.
And because this is live radio, give us about an hour to get back to the office and recover from this first radio event.
And forgive us.
And then we'll take all of your calls and try and answer some questions.
But you guys did a fantastic job. And I look forward to learning more about it in the coming weeks as we learn more about Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care. Again, the phone number is 435-477-6999. It's good to know that there's hope out there. Hope to live your life the way you want to.
Well, thank you again, Andy, for having us on the show.
All right. That'll do it for the program today. Richard and Kaylee, good to talk to you guys. Thanks for coming in today. And you did a great job, by the way. I know you were really nervous your very first show. You guys nailed it. Way to go.